Summer's just whizzing on by, huh? We're already halfway through July.
Yeah, right? I feel like if I was a kid, I'd be really depressed right now. Man,
plus, it's been nothing but rain here.
Yeah.
Good thing we're adults and our lives are, you know...
Menial?
Yeah. What's menial mean?
It's the same every day.
Whenever I hear menial, I just, like, have a picture of, like, those giant, like, grindstones just, like, grinding meal.
Well, that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, but, like, happier. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 17th, 2015. This is Mike Minotti.
Were you hesitating on the
year? A little bit. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
That's good. So, we've got some news, you know, what we've been playing, and release. Are there any releases this year? Release here this week?
I hope there's some this year. Actually, yeah.
Okay, then that's fun. So let's talk about, Iwata first. This happened actually last Sunday. Satoru Iwata, the president and CEO of Nintendo, kind of suddenly passed away. I mean, we knew he had, he had some issues and he missed a couple of E3s, but we weren't really led to believe they were as serious as they were. But so he died kind of suddenly.
Yeah, it was a shocking. I mean, like you said, we knew he was sick, but I didn't know like he was still sick.
Right. And there was, you know, the one nice thing about it, there was a lot of kind of outpouring from the games community. It was kind of nice to see everybody kind of just be unified for a bit.
Yeah, you know? It was very
right.
It's kind of, unified.
And not that like you would expect Sony and Microsoft to be mean about it, but it's right. Like when you see them tweet like nice things about, you know, I don't know, it always makes me feel good.
Well, it humanizes the industry.
Exactly. When it's so competitive sometimes and unnecessarily so, that it's nice to just, you know, see things be a bit more put in perspective. But I don't know. If you were always kind of a bit hard on Iwata, you weren't the biggest fan.
You have to bring this up.
You were one of the people who were not a fan of his on-screen presence. Everyone, especially Dao, is kind of coming clear. Everyone loved him. They thought he's kind of funny. You weren't a fan.
I liked him better than the directs. I thought when he did live stuff, it just was, you know, he didn't speak English well. But
it was part of his charm.
Here's what I'll say. Yes, I didn't agree with a lot of decisions they made, especially with the Wii U and such. But the man did, you know, do the unthinkable and say, we're not making a new Game Boy, we're going to go with this DS thing, which I think is a good call. The Wii obviously was the right decision at the time. I guess I've been kind of reading about Iwata's background and history. I didn't realize, like, I knew he was a developer, but I didn't realize he was really, apparently like a really good programmer.
Yeah.
He actually, my favorite thing I read that I appreciate, he single-handedly compressed the code of Pokemon Gold and Silver enough so they could include the entire Kanto region on the cartridge.
Oh, cool. You mean, yeah.
You know how, like, you know, you'd be in and you could go to the old continent? That was all because of him.
That's neat.
He did that by himself.
Yeah, it was cool because I didn't realize he worked on Pokemon. But yeah.
He prototyped Smash Brothers.
Well, he worked on Smash Brothers, the original. I think the last, like, game he worked on, really, before he kind of went into more, like, executive stuff was Melee. But yeah, he did Kirby because he was at Game Freak for a while. He worked on Earthbound. Mm-hmm. He had a big imprint as a developer too, but it is just sort of weird because now we have this kind of bizarre gap in Nintendo. We'll talk about that in a second. But you know, you're right. The Wii U was a problem. He did take a pay cut for it. He took responsibility for it.
Yeah, which I always thought was admirable.
Yeah, which I thought was. Kind of.
That probably kept somebody from losing their job.
Right. He was. We won't know, but he was putting, you know, for a couple years, but it seems like he's putting the company on a different track that might yield some good things with this mobile deal with the NX and the Universal theme parks deal.
Yeah, they, not Miyamoto, but the other guy whose name is eluding me.
Takada?
Yeah, I believe he was quoted as saying something along the lines of, Iwata has planted the seeds of what Nintendo will be, and they will one day bloom into beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. You know, I mean, you could draw a lot of parallels between this and the passing of Steve Jobs.
Kind of.
As far as the company's vision goes. I mean, Jobs, obviously, we knew he was sicker, and that was a little more expected, but...
Well, yeah, it... The one thing I think Iwata did with, like, the Nintendo Directs and stuff and helped do that was he made Nintendo kind of the fun company. Even in this kind of Wii U era where maybe the sales of the Wii U weren't good, it's been a lot more fun to be a Nintendo fan than it was maybe during the Wii.
Stuff like the Muppets at
E3. Yeah, and that stuff's great. Where him and Reggie
were fighting each other for the... Was that E3 last year?
Yeah, I liked how they turned Reggie, Iwata, and, like, Shiggy into, like, almost just, like, weird comedy trio.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's another reason why the passing kind of comes a little bit harder for fans, especially because, like, you know, it's almost like with Walt Disney, where there's, like, kind of Walt Disney the executive and Walt Disney the character.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us, you know, liked Satoru Iwata the character, and they were probably very similar, but it makes things harder. Who do you think is going to replace? Do you think there's any chance Shigeru Miyamoto takes that job? I don't think
he'd want to. I really don't.
Right. It's... I feel like if he wants it, it's his. Do you think?
I mean, it just depends what his business acumen is like.
Well, he even said before he didn't want to be that involved with the creation of the NX. Because he was heavily involved with the Wii U. And maybe, you know, that wasn't a great idea. But, so, you know, I think he's best when he's working on game stuff. But, so yeah, that's interesting. Reggie, I don't think a Japanese company is going to have an American CEO. Mm-hmm.
No way.
Like, maybe he should, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Iwata was the first...
Not to be Yamaguchi.
From the family.
Right.
It's weird that company's been around since, what, 1889? They're going to be now on their fifth president?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, like, Iwata's reign or whatever, it wasn't super long. It was 2002, about till...
Yeah, so 13 years.
13 years. I guess it's not, you know, super short or anything. I didn't realize that Shiggy is older than him. Shiggy is in his 60s. Iwata was only 55. Yeah, that was young. But yeah, I bet the successor is going to be somebody who we see the name, we're not going to immediately know who it is. Almost like Iwata when he was probably anointed. It's not like, not like he was a household name before that happened. But man, yeah, it's interesting times at Nintendo. All right, so NPDs came out yesterday. Big thing first, PlayStation 4 beat Xbox One this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seems like PlayStation 4 usually wins. Sometimes Xbox One does. They're both probably doing fine.
I feel like this year might repeat last year, where, like, the PlayStation 4 wins, like, 9 months out of the year, but the Xbox wins the holiday. That's kind of what happened last year.
Last year that happened because they just, like, it's $50 cheaper now.
Well, this year it's going to be, we have Halo, and they don't have really much of anything.
No. And Nathan Drake collection.
Mm.
But we'll see. So, software, though. Number one, no big surprise, Batman Arkham Knight. Number two, this guy surprised me, is the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited.
People like that.
It's a brand.
Elder Scrolls.
It's a brand, yeah. I don't know how many of them, like, are going to be playing for a while, but, you know, Sony does just, like, a game. They're making some money, at least.
Yeah.
Number three, Lego Jurassic World. Then we got then we have some repeats here. But four is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, still pretty high up. Five is Splatoon.
Very cool.
Second month, still top five. I think that's kind of shocking in a way, in a good way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has kind of the benefit of, like, well, you got a Wii U, you're probably going to get Splatoon.
Yeah,
It's a shitty game or anything. It's actually a really good game.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm glad that game's doing well. Then six, Minecraft. Seven, Grand Theft Auto 5. Eight, Mortal Kombat X. Nine, NBA 2K15. And then 10, Call of Duty.
So my understanding is, I think it's just for the year, but Mortal Kombat X is the highest-selling current-gen game. But if you... separate out, like, because the sales don't include the bundles for Arkham Knight, because there's a PS4 bundle.
Oh.
If you include those, then Arkham Knight is.
Okay, it's a little convoluted.
Yeah.
A little hard to follow that. It's weird that NBA 2K15 still sold that much. I guess the finals were happening, but still.
Yeah, people like that game.
It's pretty late into the season. So, yeah, I think the biggest surprises are Elder Scrolls and Splatoon kind of being up there. But, man, I have no interest to play Elder Scrolls, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fun.
If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to try to get through, like, the mounds of content in Final Fantasy XIV I have to do. So,
let me ask you real quick. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you're a fan of Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah.
And even, like, when I was playing World of Warcraft, even though I was never max level, I always bought the expansions because there was something to do. But, like, do you feel like it kind of hurts Heavensward that, like, you really do have to kind of finish 14
before
you
can get it? I think a little bit, just because, like, I'm not going to buy it until I do finish 14. And
right.
It's, like, almost kind of...
Because there's nothing to do with that expansion, right?
You can... No, I don't know. The classes, I think you could get... You have to be a certain level to unlock them, but... Like, I think I could change my class right now if I wanted to.
I wasn't sure if that was the case
job. Or not. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, it is a different strategy. Which I think is fine. I think it's all right to do something.
I'm sure they had the metrics to know how many of their players could play the expansion.
Yeah, well, I think they have a pretty dedicated player base, too, which is good. All right, so what we've been up to and playing and stuff. I'm sure you've been playing more Batman.
More Batman.
Not much more to say about Batman.
It's pretty damn good.
It's Batman.
Nice thing about it, I will say, because like the reason why I'm taking so slow on it is I only like to like sit down and play story missions when like you know the kids are asleep. I know I've got like a couple hours myself. But if like we're all just hanging out in the living room and doing whatever, I can at least fire up the game and just start doing like side missions, like looking for firefighters and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which is nice.
Have you been playing the new Magic game?
I haven't. I downloaded it, but I haven't gotten a chance to fire it up.
Yeah, I'm playing it a bit. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's definitely much more like the Hearthstone model. And it has, like, a campaign mode, which is basically just kind of, like, slowly teaching you the game with, like, a kind of story in between battles. One thing I like that does is it has a tutorial, and it starts out with just, like, here's this, here's this, here's this. But then, like, in the middle of a game, it'll be like, we need to teach you about trample. So, like, we're going to go away from this battle and go to, like, a setup where you have to play one turn to understand trample. Then we return you to the battle you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat. It's kind of nice and organic. But it is interesting because there's just a disadvantage with Magic being based on a real game. It just doesn't translate quite as well.
Right. It's limited in what it can do.
Right. And it's just a bit more complicated enough. But I guess, you know, the advantage is also, like, these are all actual cards, and if you wanted to, you could go, you know, play Magic the Gathering on, you know, your table.
The Holy Grail, to me, was always trying to figure out a way where you had an analogous one-to-one collection. Like, you only bought the cards physically, but then every card had a unique code to put it in the game.
Right. Well, I guess so, but I don't know. I think the Hearthstone model, for me, just works
well, I mean, these days. This was pre-Hearthstone, I used to think back in the day.
Well, they didn't... Didn't some Pokemon cards, like, have a code you could scan them into, like, the e-reader for something? I don't know.
Just, like, gave you stats on the Pokemon. Oh, that's all it was. Okay,
fun.
Yes.
besides that, I was playing Mega Man X4 for fun.
That's a good game.
Yeah. No, why is this happening to me? What am I fighting for? Yeah, the cutscenes are spectacular. But yeah, it was fun. I'm playing with Zero, though, and it's so much harder, because, like, he can't, like... He gets, like, new moves. It's sometimes, like, when he kills somebody, sometimes the new move is a double jump or an air dash. So, like, there's no weakness to exploit with certain bosses. So, you literally have to, like, fight
them. Gotta be good.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'm kind of good, but I'm in the boss rush right now, and it's kind of getting me a bit.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be tough.
But, yeah, it's super, it's fun. It's
interesting. Hey, you beat it when you were, like, 12. You could beat
it. Yeah, I did, actually. So, hey. Unlike some of the other games where I could only beat now. But, yeah, besides that, more Hearthstone, more Heroes of the Storm. How about you?
My favorite mobile game, Star Wars Commander, got a cool update.
How's that?
We can go to different planets now.
Oh, besides Tatooine?
Yeah, so I'm building... I'm a day away from finishing my planetary command center, and I'm going to relocate my base to Hoth.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, it's cool. They're doing, like... Basically, in addition to, like, the weekend events they do, there's now, like, a constantly going weekly campaign, and it's based on what planet you're on.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you know, Empire versus Rebels and, like, a tally, and there's rewards and stuff. It's cool just that they keep doing neat things with that game. It's fun.
I actually also started up Metroid Prime 2.
How's that go?
Oh, it's fun. It's weird, because, like, I didn't play a whole ton of Metroid Prime 2 when it came out, so it's almost like it's like a new Metroid Prime game,
right,
in a way. It's definitely good. It's weird, though, because it's weird that they, like, well, how can we make Metroid Prime 1 better? I know, more dialogue boxes.
That's been the problem with the Metroid series since Prime.
It is weird, because, like, everyone loved Prime. I feel like even at the time, maybe I'm just remembering this wrong, people were like, it's cool how, like, there's not a lot of, like, cutscenes or, like,
yeah, because that's the whole point of Metroid, is that feeling of isolation.
I feel like everyone praised that, and then after that, they're like, well, you know what, this series needs more, like, voiceovers.
I mean, do you remember Prime 3? There were fully voiced cutscenes.
Right, well, then we just went to Other M, and it was just fully, like, lots of cutscenes. Although I still defend Other M as being a fun game with maybe a stupid story. But some people are, oh, God, leave it alone.
A 3D game with a D-pad on a Wii remote.
It worked.
No, it didn't.
It did.
No, it didn't.
It worked fine.
Didn't work.
It worked. But it'll be fun to play Metroid Prime 2. You know, Metroid Prime. Good stuff. It's weird how the Prime series, like, usually in video game worlds, the best game in a series, even a sub-series, is a sequel. It's not the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird for that. Like, Metroid Prime is one. It's just the best of that form. Trilogy. Yeah. Yeah, it just is. Weird. It
kind of got worse as they went.
A little bit. All right, anything else? What came out?
So, releases. They did a Steam release for Card Hunter. Do you remember this game?
No.
It was a browser game, which I always felt like kind of hamstrung its ability to, like, catch on. It's like it simulates playing a tabletop role-playing game with a deck of cards. It's very cool. You should definitely check it out.
Oh, you know what? Me and Jeff played this interesting game on Twitch. I forget what it's called. It was basically just it's a 2D side score, but like the people in the Twitch room can like vote for like the upgrades and stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I forget the name.
It was weird.
But yeah, you should check this game out. It's actually very fun.
All right.
Rory McIlroy PGA Tour came out. I've heard not good things.
Right. Weird. That series used to be so much fun.
Well, I guess like they like in an attempt to make it different from the previous games, they redid the swing mechanics.
Mm.
And people say it's just too hard.
Weird.
Also, the creative player, which is like always the best feature of that game. Like, it's just 12 preset faces.
Yeah, that used to be so much fun. Even the Xbox 360 versions, I used to love that.
There's like
crap.
Less than a dozen actual golfers in the game.
There's only
Tiger Woods isn't in it.
That's
there's
weird.
Only 8 real life courses, I think.
Wait. I feel like there's only 2 ways to do swings in these games. It has to be just like that click meter, like Mario Kart. It has to be like the analog thing, and
Mario
that works.
Kart.
Yeah, Mario. This all the golfing in Mario Kart. Don't you remember?
Yeah. Let's see. Vanishing of Ethan Carter came out on PS4. I have that. I've yet to play.
Never played.
Godzilla came out on PS4 and PS3. Apparently it's crappy and people are surprised. God of War 3 Remaster came out.
It's like, it's funny how part of me is like, oh, that'd be cool. And I saw it at E3 and it looked good. But it's another part of me that's like, I feel like God of War is already like an outdated thing in so many ways. Just in like, it's super, first off, just like that kind of action game. And second off, just like that kind of super macho violence thing. There was like an article of the talk that was like trying to like deconstruct the violence and why, like what it was trying to mean to the plot.
Oh,
and
please.
I want to be like, I'm pretty sure they just did it because they're like, teenage boys will think this is cool.
Yeah.
But you know, that's nice too. Is that it?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Also, it's of note, you know that free game that was on Xbox, Chariot or whatever?
Yeah.
They added Philips Hue support to the game.
What?
Like my lights?
Oh.
So it would actually, like, lighten, like, with the game.
You know whenever you say Philip Hughes, that just sounds like a guy's name. Philip Hughes. I'm like, what?
No, Philips Hue.
Yeah, oh, God. All right, so that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store. You can leave us a review there. We always appreciate that. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.